Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we have Alana and Pat.
Hi.
And Tana on the line. Hi, everybody.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, I'm on the airplane. I just landed.
Oh, wow. Good.
Oh, cool.
Super.
So,
wow.
Yeah. Hi, all. Hi, Chad. Hi, everybody online.
Hi, sweetie.
Everybody listening on the phone right now, Alana and Pat and Joe. Love you all.
Love you all. Love you too, honey.
Okay,
love
I'm
you.
Gonna
be
bye.
Good.
Hey, bye. So, Alana, are you there?
Oh, boy.
How are you today, Pat?
Okay.
Oh, good. Hi, Alana.
Hi, Alana.
Hey, Pat.
Hi, sweetie. How you doing?
I am, I'm a little rocked. I'll face him when I sit down and get, ask him questions and he responds. So, yeah, yeah, I'm a little rocked.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, oh. I got stuff here too, baby. And I'm asking prayers. I'm going to read something from Darlene Salalated that's going to make you all kind of happy. Yeah, but they get everybody in line. I mean, everybody. I don't want to, you know, whatever. Let can do it later. And he and I have got some nice he and I. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm excited both of that. We have
oh, this
Keith,
is good stuff.
Keith
yeah. Hey, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
How you doing?
Hey, everybody.
Hi. Yeah,
so,
everything okay?
Today was translation day, but Judy prayed for me. Praise God. I was able to get out of bed and start having energy again. Thank God.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I was kind of...
Oh,
I
great.
Just, after breakfast, I had to go back to bed, and after lunch, I had to go back to bed. I just had zero energy. But, I mean, it was like I was shaking, and then Judy prayed for me, and God answered. And I was like, within 10 minutes after the prayer, I got up, and I was like, this is weird. What am I doing? I was walking around, doing stuff. I forgot all about it. I was
great.
Like, oh, wow, thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, call, and call anytime for anybody, and we'll pray for you, you know. She was.
I know.
There's so much
sure.
power in prayer. There really is.
Oh, yeah, great power.
Love you, Pat. And thank you for
love you, too. I hope you find your
move.
Nice healers out there.
We got all moved in, and so Tana left this morning on that plane back, which is only like a 45-minute trip back to L.A.
She's
out of Burbank. So Tana left, and she did so much helping. I mean, I think she may look pretty with the slim figure, but let me tell you, she's like a bodybuilder with, I mean, she just did like practically the whole move because I couldn't do anything. So I just sat there, and she's like was lifting. I mean, they were like hauling stuff on the dolly until like almost 12 midnight last night, just in and out of that as a U-Haul and bring it in. Katana did all of it. She's just like, I mean, I couldn't even lift the cup.
Yeah.
She was just doing everything. She was amazing.
You just tell them where to put it, honey. You just tell them where to put it.
You know what? Normally when people move, I'm always the clean and neat freak, so I'm usually the one stuck in the kitchen organizing everything else.
Gosh.
I tell people that these muscles are for beauty, not for sweating. So,
But you can tell them where to put it. Okay.
Yeah. It was great that she is. But she laughed, and we had a really good trip. It was great seeing her, and I'm so glad we're all settled in and everything is better now. Yeah, the warm nights have been nice. I've been sitting outside, and just last night it was 104, but it was dry heat. It was really nice. Our apartment, thank God, is, like, really cool, even in the hot heat, because we have this great location with some trees over it. It's really a miracle.
Yeah.
We're not going to have...
That's how Texas was where I lived in Kerrville, yeah. Dry heat. You don't feel it.
Alana, you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi,
honey.
Hi. I have a feeling you want to share something with us. We want our world to rock.
Yeah,
the way yours was today. Let us know what happened. Can you share?
Well, yeah, and praise and bless God. I will give you a brief weather report from Boston because I had always felt that it would be a bright day when he came. It was one of the things he said. And as I was sleeping last night, I knew it was pouring down rain, and it was supposed to be overcast the whole weekend. I woke up this morning, and it is the most bright and beautiful day that you could possibly imagine.
Here, too. New Jersey, yeah.
So,
yes.
And I'm going to give you a little preamble to this. At the end of this, I asked for a confirmation, and I did my own Bible flip, which is what I really needed to be. It's a pretty mighty Bible flip. And I had forgotten. I get this in pieces. I do as much as I can. You know, I say, take a break, and I'll take a break. And I forget, honestly, when he tells me something, I have to read it over many times because I don't necessarily remember. So I'd forgotten. So this was the confirmation that I got on this. And it was Luke 2, verse 7. And, of course, the first thing I noticed was the number of the verse is 7. And the verse reads, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I thought, well, isn't that the most unusual, humble, just beautiful confirmation I could imagine? And then, because I have a really special place in my heart for Mary, and let me just tell you who brought me to Jesus. Let me tell you who brought me there. I was holding her skirt. Where did she bring me? Thank you, right there. And here she is in this confirmation, included in it. And then, of course, when I went back and read the word after I'd gotten that confirmation, I remembered. So this is how it goes. And I was just writing, and I wrote May 17th. And I said, my Lord, my heart weeps for joy at writing this date. Thank you. This is my mother's. Thank you. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for the gift of your holy mother.
Yes. Amen, honey.
And
boy, I could do a job telling you, speaking about Mary. Oh, boy, because I've seen her three times.
Yes.
A
humility.
Yes.
Humility.
Purity. Yeah.
And purity, grace, abounding. So
and
I
duty.
I've never seen the face, only felt the presence. But I said, my Lord, I am here awaiting a word of inspiration from you, if it is your will. And this is how he responded. My works are mighty. My love, divine. I walk with my servants in joy. I am as thankful for you as you are for me. And I had to laugh. He had to laugh. That was a funny one. He said, my dear children, you are so deeply prized, loved, adored. You are my shining jewels. It is through your love that you are loved. And I didn't quite get that one. It is through your love that you are loved. My peace and blessings, anointing grace and power are ever with you. Be not fearful. I am not a God of fear, but of love. Be watchful, but not anxious. Be sure, certain, as certain that night will follow day and day after night. Be certain, be trusting, be joyful. I have only begun to pour out my blessings. My beloved church, your hearts are beautiful. Your spirits shine. I am proud of you. And so I said, my Lord, this is a day in which we strongly await your coming. While being mindful of the calamities and sorrows of the earth, and this is the response, my coming is foretold. Blessed be that one who watches and hopes and is joyous in the spirit. My dearest Lord, this is the day you have promised, and the last one in which I feel comfortable seeking. And he said, the day is bright, is it not? It rained in the night, but cleared in the morning, so I will come. And I said, my Lord, if this is not fulfilled, your dear children may lose faith. He said, this was the part that was starting to confuse me. He said, it is already accomplished. I responded, I have no idea what that means, my Lord. I am still here. How could your word be accomplished if I am still here? He said, you will see my kingdom surround you. You are more of heaven than of earth. And that was when I took a break, and I came back and I said, thank you for the clear sky overhead, when the gloom was predicted. He said, I am with you, and you await my words. My coming approaches and is now here. Come, little ones. I will give you rest and joy, fellowship, and a special place in my kingdom without end. You are my sheep. You are my people. I love you with an everlasting love. I stoop to each one. I rescue,
I correct. I bind the wounds. I resolve all doubts. I am he. And, of course, me being who I am. My Lord, though this is a joyous waiting, it is also so torturous.
Yes.
His response. Did Elijah feel tortured? He did not. I must receive my bride so that all can commence. Come, Lord Jesus, do not delay. Quickly come, my Lord and my love. And he did a play on here, and this is a quiet joke between him and I. He says, now the antelope chases you, old lioness. Because I had a long discussion with him about how I was hunting him and just waiting for him in the field, and I was a lioness, and he turned on me and he said, now the antelope chases you.
Yep.
Oh, lioness. That's a catch him, pursue me, my lord. Catch him, pursue me. And he said,
that's
he was
so
safely
awesome,
in my
Alana.
It's beautiful.
I really like that.
Yeah.
He cracked me up. I said, Lord, he said, you are safely in my arms. And I said, do not let our hope be in vain. And I want you to hear this. And I said, do not let our hope be in vain. He says, does my word come back void? No, it does not. Rest but a moment. I will retrieve you by the dawn.
Hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
You see why I'm a little flattened out by that. When I said, my Lord, I can't release this word. I can't destroy the church. And he said, you alert the church. Put on the bridal garment. I come.
Yeah.
And then he said, will you say that you do not believe me? I dare not, my Lord. I dare not. And that was
for real. I'm taking a shower tonight for sure. I'm gonna be ready to go.
I took a shower before.
Thank you.
I took a shower before I did this. I gave myself a baptism, and I always do when I ask Jesus to baptize me. And yes, I have taken that shower, baby.
Yeah. We're going to be clean and ready to go. And again, I love how you said how, you know, you kind of were like, huh, when you said, I've already come. Like, he's seen it. He's already seen, again, his father's the beginning and the end. Like, this is our, they've seen the outcome of this. He's actually seen himself embracing you and your reaction. And that's why, when I say he's more excited than us, it's like, how can that be? Because he's actually seen how amazing it's going to be. So that's a wonderful word. Thank you so much for sharing that with all of us.
Well, y'all, I am here.
We have
to
Leah
alert
on the phone. Thank you. Thank you. We have Leah on the phone too. I just wanted to welcome her. She just called in. Hi, Leah. Are you there? Are you just listening?
Yeah. Hey, Samuel. How are you? Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hello,
Alana. Hi.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Oh, that sounded just great. And Keith, are you still there?
Yeah. Katana.
Oh.
Hi, Keith in Las Vegas.
Right. Hey, Leah. So it's super clear there, you were saying, Keith, today?
It was like, it's 100 today. Yesterday was 104. It's pretty hot.
Wow.
But it's really calm. It's got that desert, kind of that desert dry heat, which is like it feels so nice, though. I really, you know, because the apartment's so cool, I don't feel the difference. But I do like the nights. Like, I love the warm nights when you go out. If you sit outside, most of the places are kind of cold. This is really warm and just like a warm, comfortable blanket. It's so beautiful. The dust is,
It is nice there. It gets cold in the desert at night. But Alana, I'm sorry. You were saying in Boston it was super sunny today as well?
And it was raining yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here in New York City. It was and bluebird today. Like, anyone at Pat,
gorgeous.
Where are you? Pat?
I'm in New Jersey.
Same with you, Pat, right?
Yeah, gorgeous.
Anyone else
today.
On
gorgeous.
The line?
Perfect.
Leah, can you tell us what the weather where you're at is like?
Rapture day.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's just been beautiful. everywhere. Like, I was driving my sister to the airport this morning, and we were just both looking at the sky, like, trying to find a cloud. It just wasn't happening.
Wow.
It's been really rare.
Yeah.
Blue skies.
There's somebody called Sarah Beveridge, and I talked about this morning just quickly. She had her iPad, and she said the three songs that came in a row, he said, and I sent Luco the music. It's called Maybe Tomorrow, then the one Higher Than the World, and then Stranded. So it was like, and the words to, you know, Maybe Tomorrow are so beautiful, you know, that maybe tomorrow we'll find our way home. And so she was flabbergasted out of all the music, these three in a row like that. She was asking for a confirmation from the Lord about when he's coming or what's happening. So she got those three in a row. You're going to be higher than the world. Yeah, it's called Tomorrow Will Be Higher Than the World. And then the other one is, one of them was Stranded. Oh, Jesus is Coming Soon. Maybe Tomorrow Will Be will be Higher Than the World. That's what the title is. And then Many Will Be Stranded. Stranded was one of them. So for the ones who were left. So she was just like flabbergasted that he gave her that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. I love
that
how the Lord works through music. I play a game with him called Pandora, which is based off the app Pandora. But sometimes I'll be like, all right, Lord, talk to me through music. And it's like, it's like, you know, I'm talking about that. It's just like, you know, these songs are random. Like, they get, you know, you don't pick this. So it's just like, are you kidding me? Are you, you know, songs I've never heard.
Right.
It's just like, oh, my God. Like, I love playing that game with the Lord.
Yeah. It's nice to go into a supermarket. And a beautiful love song will come on, and you know it's from him because the next song that comes on is so stupid and corny and dumb, but the first one that came on was like, spoke right to your heart, you know, maybe you're wondering about something, and he answers it through songs. He'll do that. He will do that.
Oh,
it's precious.
He's blessing us. He's blessing us every minute of every day. Like, again, myself included, like, we get so clouded by everything else that's going on. Sometimes we overlook the blessings that he's bestowing on us, but that's why I like to go in the woods sometimes to totally get detached, because you really notice that, you know, when you have your distractions, you know, it happens to me personally more in personal time, but, it's just, we're so blessed. We're so blessed.
We are. We're very blessed. We're spoiled blessed. He knows we love him.
Like, our King spoils us so much.
Because he knows
so
we
much.
Appreciate it. We're not going to get proud and stupid about it, you know.
I'm sure I speak for almost everyone, but we love him just as much. You know, it's not about that, but he still spoils us so much.
It's sincere. Because
it makes him happy. When you truly, truly love, nothing makes you happier than making what you love happy.
Wow, when I get a chance, I'll read this to you. Yeah, from Darlene.
Yeah,
this
whenever
is
you're
really
ready,
good.
I was going to
okay,
ask.
Okay, let me, because this is going to make everybody happy who hears this, because it's called God is Able, and I know I'm going through some special things here, different things, Keith, not the usual stuff, but pray for my daughter, Geraldine. She's schizophrenic affective, and she's on medication, and it's making her, like, she's just not paying attention to stuff, and the dog
is eating.
Is
she very drowsy?
Yeah, and she's leaving kettles on, and it's dangerous.
My very good friend, he kind of, I brought him to concert a year ago, and he kind of lost it. We had to, like, find him afterwards, and long story short, he had no clothes on in the middle of nowhere. It was a bad scene. But he ended up being a doctor, and now they have him on this medicine where he takes his medicine, he passes out, or if he stays awake, he does that. He'll, like, you know,
but
like,
her head is messed up.
Burning slowly, like, almost starting to fire, random things. But you got to, medicine's worse than sometimes worse.
I know. Well, you know what it is? She drank a lot. She used to drink a lot. And I think my gut feeling is she's using the meds to keep herself kind of high. And the doctors are like, the doctors, forget the doctors. They'll just give you,
they'll give you whatever because it's money.
Yeah.
But, it's a deeper rooted thing. No one says, I want to be a drunk, or I've decided, you know, I want to be a junkie and throw my life away.
No.
It happens because the people I've met and talked deeply with, they're depressed to begin with. And that's the underlying problem that the pharmaceuticals treat.
That's true,
because
too.
They'll just give you antidepressants, which makes it worse.
Yeah.
But,
that's what she's on.
So please, no one ever looks down on anyone. Oh, they're an alcoholic. Oh, they're a drug addict. No, there's someone who's hurting, thirsting, and hates this world so much that they need to numb themselves. I'm sure she's still loving, but, you know, again,
she helps me a lot. She's 47, and she's had this since 16,
Well, I mean, I grew up, and my mother is still an alcoholic, a heavy alcoholic. When I was younger, it was hard.
All my people were.
You know, a little violent and stuff.
All my people
They
died from it. My husband died from it.
My mother is an amazing woman. Oh, yeah. Same in my family. It runs with them. So my mother's an amazing,
it's incredible.
Amazing woman. She's an amazing woman of the Lord. She's just, it's the only, she needs to numb. She's, you know, her walk's been long and very hard. And everyone's,
I turn to the Holy Spirit.
So. Yeah,
I have such a respect for alcohol that I can't touch it. I know how it destroys.
It actually makes me sick physically. But you know, other things. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, whether it be pot or whatever, just don't judge. I mean, it's different. It's different for everyone.
Oh, it's the thing. The bottom line is she needs help, and I'm trying to ask the Lord how to help her because, you know, she doesn't like me talking to her doctor and stuff, and she's, you know, she's smart enough. She's very high functioning. I mean, she can even hold a job down, but she loses her jobs because they see how different she is in her personality and the poor thing, you know, but she's very sweet. And she's on all this medication for her head, and it's brain chemistry imbalance. It's not that she's retarded or anything like that, you know. It's just mentally challenged, as they would call it.
Yeah.
But it's the brain chemistry that all up because she got into drugs in high school. They all did, and it's fried her brain. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. And all I want to say is, and then please let's move on to your reading. It's just let's, brothers and sisters, not judge anyone on things
gotta
like
help
that.
You
need to understand too. I mean, just in my walking
she's
journey,
she's got to do her part too. She's got to do her part too. That's what I'm asking.
Right.
Is that she will come to the all right. So anyway, let me read this to you because I thought this was very good. And she says, "What can God do? Maybe we should turn that around and ask, what can't God do? Can you think of anything? Okay, how about the problem you're grappling with?" See, it was for me today, too, because I said, Holy Spirit, what am I going to read? "How about the problem you're grappling with? Because you're so close to it, does it seem bigger than God? Does it cast a shadow that seems to hide God's presence? When life's trouble loom over us, we all tend to lose our sense of perspective. As we focus on our problems, God seems to fade into the background of our lives. From our faulty point of view, his presence seems tiny and insignificant. In times like these, we need to remind ourselves of the simple but incredible description the Apostle Paul gives of what God can do. Paul tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. It's from Ephesians 3:20. In order to really grasp that verse in a practical way, I need to break it down into bite-sized truths." hold on, I'm turning the page. Paul is saying what God is able to do. What I ask, all I ask, more than I ask, immeasurably more than all I ask, what I can imagine, all I imagine, more than all I imagine, immeasurably more than all I ask or imagine. Wow, that should be enough for my problems today. But there's more. Paul tells us how God can do all this. He does it according to his power that is at work within us. The power is resurrection power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. The power of Jesus's indestructible life, Hebrews 7:16. Maybe you're thinking, that sounds great, but I don't know exactly how it applies to a practical approach for the problem I'm facing. Well, think of it this way. If God could raise Jesus from the dead, is that power enough for you at the point of your neediness? I'd say so, wouldn't you? The creator of the universe is ready to use his power in your life. The power of God's is not merely an abstract capability he reserves for creating planets and stars and universes. He is also at work within us who are his children. Yes, his power lives inside us, working from the inside out. Our part is to cooperate with what he is doing, to not get in his way, to let him achieve in our lives what he wants to not insist on doing things our way. Then his power can bring about what we could never accomplish in our own strength. So when you put yourself and your dilemma in the middle of this verse of Paul's, what part of your problem is too big for God? Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. So, right, again, what, our problems when it seems so, and again, with some, all of us have dire problems. I mean, you know, but when you compare it to our God and what he can do, it's such a relief just to put everything in his hands. And it's not a cop-out, or you know, realizing that that's a blessing he's given us. Yeah, exactly. He wants to. It's not like, oh, he's doing us
but you got to ask.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that part where it says, if he can create the stars and the universe and all the and you think of the things of the earth, and you come and say, well, I have a problem with my daughter, I have a problem with finances, you don't think he can handle that? it's almost laughable. When you think of it. But it's that trust. It's that waiting on the Lord. When he does it in his time, his way, his will, you have to trust that that's going to happen. That's where the trust comes in. Okay? You got to trust. He heard me. He's going to take care of it. Yeah. Yeah. And he says, when you have a problem you can't do anything about, give it to me. And then go back to the peace within you. You gave it to me? Leave it with me. You gave it to me. Let me work.
Amen. Alana, are you still on the line? I had a question for you if you were. Is anyone still on the line? Is it just you and I, Pat?
Hello, anybody else out there?
I'm still here.
Still there, Alana?
I'm here. Can you hear all the background noise?
Oh, right on. Alana, I had a question if you don't mind answering. If you do, say, I mind, and no worries. You know, a lot of people ask me, and I have my way. You know, when you get visions from the Lord or deep words or stuff, is there something special you do? I mean, do you get in a reclined, you know, in the Bible it speaks about getting in a reclined position. You know, that's why the Jewish holiday, you know, they do every, sundown, I think Friday to Saturday, they're supposed to stay in a reclined position that whole time. Back in the day, it was to spend, you know, be closer to the Lord and get the Spirit to, you know, be able to anoint you that way. Is there anything special you do? Okay. How about you, Pat? Is there anything special you did?
You know, I think it's like for over 50 years, it's like being an old wifey. And I'm just so much in his presence all the time. I know he's there all the time. I mean, he says in here, put yourself in my presence. It's like I'm in his presence all the time, 24/7.
Right, I mean, that's what I'm trying to get at.
When I talk to him, it's like, husband, you heard me. The wife is asking you something with respect and love, but it's so... You know, Jesus and I can just look at each other, not say anything. This can go on for hours. We can just be with each other. We don't have to say a word to each other because, I'm really funny. That's the Holy Spirit.
You're in the same boat.
I'm in the zone with him all the time, so to speak. It's like living life with somebody who you're in love with all the time, and you just know each other. And you know each other.
Right,
you know
any advice we could give for, you know, again, a six.
Well, I know it says that if you really
dialogue,
want to hear the Lord.
Advice we can give to our new brothers and sisters.
Okay.
I've been talking to a lot
find
of
a
people
quiet place.
Only been a few months,
yes, find a quiet
a year
place.
Maybe,
I would
and
say
they're
that,
really searching.
And have a pen and paper ready, and just have a quiet place if you want, and say, Jesus, I'm putting you in my presence. If there's anything in me that is not of you, please take it out of me. Holy Spirit, inspire me. Possess me in the name of Jesus. I want to hear from you. I love you. And just wait. And sometimes, even if he's silent, he still heard you. He is still there. Don't be upset if there's silence. He will. All of a sudden, you might be doing the dishes, and all of a sudden, he'll start yakking away to you.
It's true, and it's different for everyone is what another thing. Like, not everyone's going to get written words. A lot of people, like, I get visions and I get feelings.
It's
you know,
all different.
You know,
he just speaks in your head,
Leah,
your heart.
Our sister Leah gets amazing words, you know.
Everybody's
many other
different.
People as well, but he works, but it said that even in the, you know, in the Bible, it says, you know, some will get visions and some will get words, and you know, it's different for everyone. Keith, anything you want to add to this? What has helped you get a deep?
For people out there, I recommend that they
I think, you know, for people out there, I recommend that they, like, you know, Pat said they go to a quiet place, that's fine. But the main thing that I suggest is they ask God for a word of knowledge and say, Lord, give me a word of knowledge on, and be very specific about the question. The more, if you just say, Lord, give me a word of knowledge about the universe, well, you might get some general stuff.
Yeah.
But if they said, Lord, give me a word of knowledge on my sister-in-law, is she going into the rapture or what? Now you're going to get some good stuff. So ask for a word of knowledge on, and then come up with a very specific question, and then just go about your day. And then all of a sudden you're going to get this aha moment, like, whoa, oh, my gosh.
Whoa,
oh, yeah,
yes.
That's right. I forgot
that
question earlier.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it, then I tell them, ask again. Don't ask more than one question a day, though, for most people. I suggest that one question. You've got a few hours. After a while,
you know, first time
may take 8 hours and 3 hours. And after a while, you might get it. Usually I get it by the time I ask the question, you know, and they'll just get it. And then after a while, it'll be easier. But I always suggest one question for the day, you know, just to kind of tune them into hearing, you know, from God.
You know, and the one thing both of you said that resonated so much and I agree with is ask. Our Lord is so gracious. He's not going to, again, if some people,
absolutely,
you know, I've been at this a while, but if someone's got a vision drop down the way I get visions, they would be petrified. It wouldn't be a blessing. It's something,
true,
you know, he works with you and you know, but you need to ask. I mean, he's not just going to do it. He wants you to want it or else, again, he's so gracious.
Yeah.
Just like he's not going to force you to love him. He's not going to force you to have visions. He's not going to force you to have words. He wants you to ask, you know, and definitely.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I know it's helping a lot of people because, you know, it's a question I've been, you know, getting from a lot of people lately. So I hope some listeners are being blessed by that.
I mean, yeah, they need to get their pen and paper out, come up with a bunch of just sit down and come up with all the questions they
want.
Well,
and again,
from relatives to everything, you know, and then
your,
just ask
God
to work.
Have your pen and paper, have your Bible, have whatever.
If you want, if you want, if you want.
Exactly, Pat. You could be in the woods with nothing,
it's
just
true.
You and the spirit.
Right,
like,
and you're going to hear,
yeah,
you're going to,
you know,
hear.
I mean, you know, John the Baptist spent, you know, the Lord came to him in the desert. He wasn't out there, you know, with scrolls of, you know, he was out there, just him and the Lord.
It's all different,
And that's another thing when people, you know, talk about fasting. Fasting is a way to get close to the Lord because, you know, I've done, you know, outback trips and whatever, and I've gone about three weeks, almost a month without eating. And after about week one, you really, everything's different, you know. A whole different world. So you start to actually see things that you would normally not see. And you start to be in tune with things, and that's why, you know, it's not for everyone, but for some people that's another
I've noticed this,
that it,
fasting. Like the last 4 days, not goody two-shoes, but it's like I don't take something solid, almost till 4:30, 5 o'clock sometimes, and I'll have fluids, and like are things that really need to be addressed that maybe I have been burying, he brings to the surface, like what to do with my daughter and stuff. And it's like a fine-tuning in you. He does this fine-tuning in you because you're making the sacrifice of the self-denial to come closer to him, you know, and all of a sudden. But sometimes things get a little tougher before they get fine, you know, before before they're cured. I mean, some little things that have to be addressed. Maybe
amen,
like I'm going through that right now.
Guys,
but
I'm so excited. We have a new caller. I mean, interrupt. But I
just
want to welcome this person so they don't hang up. We have a new caller. Area code 205. Hello, 205.
It's Katie.
Katie.
I was just saying
today.
Oh, hi, Katie. Sorry, I haven't been on in a while.
That's all right, honey. We understand. We love you too, baby.
Love you too.
And I've just been waiting, like, really anxiously, so.
All of us.
Welcome
Katie, it's so
club.
Good to hear your voice, sister.
I definitely missed
you and missed your insights. What's going on? There's always going on something. You graduated, right?
Yeah, I did graduate, so.
That's good.
It's exciting.
Congrats.
But now I'm trying to make I'm just trying to take some time off this summer, but I did I've got some interviews for jobs, but I'm hoping I don't have to follow through with that.
Right.
Yeah. We know you enough to know you're not building your house on sand. You're just like whatever. But
yeah, exactly.
You know, again, there's a reason the Lord had you go through college, and you probably, you know, touched so many souls, probably not even realizing it, and some with realizing it. So everything's for a reason, but that's cool. Yeah. It's so good to hear your voice. Do you have anything to share, Katie? There's always something new and cool going on in your world. Not to put you on the spot. If there's not, say there isn't. But.
Well, I made a video a while back. I mean, I had a rapture dream, but I can't even really remember what it was now, but I did talk about it in my video if y'all haven't seen that. But all I know is that he's coming. I had a dream the other night about, like, a UFO and it hitting the ground, and it was just kind of weird. I don't know, but I just know he's coming, and I'm just, every day he kind of gives me a little sign that, to, you know, encourage me. So.
Good.
Katie, I had something cool the other day, and I saw it. I wanted to tell you, like, a lot of helicopters, as you and I discussed, been going on. I saw a drone the other day, like an actual drone flying, like, I don't know, probably like 800, about 800 feet up, like, you know, right over my house. But again, I mean, Bill Clinton lives about 10 miles from me. The governor lives 1 mile from me. So, like, there's these people, but it's weird. It was definitely weird. I was like, is it going to shoot a missile at me? I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. That's all went through my head. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow, right? Oh, my goodness. Had enough of your jar. Here, go. I'm going to take care of this.
So, and,
again, how bad it is here and knowing how bad it is in other countries.
Yeah. What did you say, Katie? I'm sorry.
I'm saying just knowing how bad it is here, it must be really bad in other countries. So.
Oh, yes, it is.
Horrible. And again, something else funny, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to give you the full story. I flipped a bird at it. Just gave it the middle finger. I said, taking a picture, there you go. That's what I think of all that you're doing. Bad.
Oh, dear. Oh, wow.
Take a good picture. Great.
Wow.
Anything else, Katie?
Not really. Just the chemtrails are so bad, and I'm just like, I've
felt like...
You've
been seeing them today?
Oh, yeah. I see them all the time.
Oh, really? Because today's the one day. We were discussing earlier, I don't know if you're listening before you got on the phone, but how it's been sunny, and, you know, we were talking to Keith out west, and up and down the East Coast, it's been like bluebird day, and I was looking for no chemtrails, like, that I could see,
nothing.
You know, going on.
Nothing.
Today.
Nothing.
But no, they're spraying where you are, Katie?
Yeah, they come and go, but yeah.
So. Katie, where are you? I forgot.
I'm in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I lived in Texas 4 years. Mm-hmm. Half of them is Southern. Yeah. Wow. Nasty stuff. The MERS thing is on the
Why'd you drop that up?
Oh, my gosh. Three other people now. Oh. Now they have to go to all the relatives and the friends of these people. And so here they have to quarantine them. It's a mess. This is in the U.S.
But it's our history and revelation being played out. You know, one of the horsemen being pestilence, and it will be allowed to be let loose now. That's why suddenly there's all these new diseases that they don't even know what to make of it. Like, I'm super into
science.
I get like newsletters and stuff, and the New England Journal of Science has no idea. That's what this month on is, all these new, you know, microorganisms and bacteria that they've never seen. One scientist even said, these aren't from this planet. You know, like, he worded it differently because he didn't want to, you know, lose his brand probably. But, you know, I mean, he was just like, this is something, it's up, you know. Like,
well, they had that
right.
Red rain. Was it last year they had the red rain falling in India, and they did it, and it was microbes and things in the rain, in the red stuff? I mean, how weird is that? People getting sick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
There's
and,
weird
a lot
stuff
of
going
what,
on.
Yeah, a lot of what they're spraying sometimes is red. They're spraying some kind of, you know, blood, people think, or something. Again, a lot of DNA.
It has cells.
DNA,
it has cells
important.
In it. Yeah, it
yeah,
has cells in
they're,
it.
They're trying
yeah.
to. Trying
Which
to
is weird.
It.
Yeah.
And
plus, the Middle East,
yeah,
they have another 100 cases of the MERS over there, so that's not stopping, you know. Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, it's right. It's actually increasing every time I check, you know, the legitimate
yes,
news
it's
you know, on YouTube. It's here,
yeah.
it's there, but I mean, it's all through. Oh, another thing, like a week ago, a whole prison, I forget where, but somewhere in the U.S., all came down with, and most of the prison, like two-thirds of the inmates died, like hundreds of inmates died.
From MERS?
No, of something they couldn't even identify. Probably some new,
oh, that's
you know,
horrible.
Thing that they're testing to use on other, you know, I don't want to be whatever, like that. But, again, the pestilence is, he has, right now, he has free reign, and he's really going at it. You know, the horsemen are doing their thing. So,
wow,
you know, right,
scary.
Start at Revelation chapter 6, you know, start at the beginning, but, you know, it'll get all into the, you know, four horsemen describes them. Each, you know,
wow.
each what they do, you know, and what's going on. You know, the wider the white horse, you know, in Obama's, you know, inauguration in Denver, you know, the stage set up the way it was set up with the white horse, you know, and then the giant white horse on the, you know, the symbol of the Broncos, and they had a huge statue
yeah.
of that behind them. I mean, they're just, it's so much is playing out so blatantly in front of you, like it's, you know, if you're
I know,
know what's
right
up,
in front of you.
Enough, oh, we mm-hmm. have another call. I keep going from chat back and forth, so let me welcome on area code 2. Oh, it's Carol. Welcome on, Carol.
Hi,
Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, honey.
Hi. I'm on the road. I'm driving home, so I couldn't wait to leave the home I was at because I was I was like Tana. I was getting rapture-centric church withdrawals because so, I had a time I was visiting.
Been there,
visiting
sister, been there.
I'm sorry?
In fact, we've all been there. At least I know I have. I missed
yeah.
the show.
Yeah, it's like,
I missed
like,
last night's show, and I was like,
ugh. Yeah, I'm looking at the time, and I'm like, I need to leave. How do I tell them that I need to leave? You know?
Right.
And you know, Lord forgive me, but well, it's partly true. So no, I'm not lying.
you're
going to
say what I was going to do.
No,
sorry,
I actually did get I bought a dinner for my brother and I told them that, you know, I needed to go so I could, you know, go visit with my brother, which is true, but I really didn't absolutely have to.
I was going to joke and say the stomach ache thing always works for me, but I have a stomach ache 24/7, so it's not like, oh, I can always pull that. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't start praying for it. It's just, you know, it's not something I've always felt. But, yeah, it's so funny. I was going to joke, Carol. You can always use a stomachache excuse. That works well.
Yeah. No, it was. No, but you know, I spent quality time with the family, and boy, it was a. You know, there was a huge demonic attack on the family. I'm not going to go into it, but you know, I ended up. Me and the lady I was with were out, and when we came back, there was a family altercation, and oh Lord! And so I just sat down and I began to pray, and I just prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to drive out all the demons, and finally, after about 10 minutes, the situation calmed down and it was fine, and the Lord is victorious. But so I stayed for a while just. You know, calming thing, you know, just assuring them that the Lord is in control and then that I would continue to pray for the family, and that's all. But I spent a lot of time there, and then it's like, okay, it's 5:30, guys, you know, I need to leave, you know, and I didn't want to tell them, well, it's because, you know, I'm going to my evening service, but anyways, I'm glad I'm here. So what are you guys talking about? Carrie and I
don't
know what
you're doing. We're talking about what's going on, and actually Ronan and I are talking. We both want to digress back to, you know, what's going on with the illness, you know, the horse and pestilence that's going on right now. You know, Roman's
there was,
doing a lot of research, both of us.
There was something I wanted to share with y'all that I just remembered.
Wait. Are you
Hello?
Okay?
You
hey,
there?
Someone driving. Sorry, I couldn't really hear. Yeah, there was something I just wanted to share. So I was at the bank the other day, and I was just going to put some money in my account, and at the bottom of the check, it said RC 12:12, which the Holy Spirit was telling me to read Revelation 12:12. Y'all hear me?
A little bit.
Yeah, you have a little bit of background noise, like your windows
that's
open.
That's not
or?
Me. That's not me.
No, that's probably me. And I think that's me driving.
Can you, sorry. Can you mute yourself, or do you want me to mute
you?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. Thanks.
You're going to mute yourself? Or?
Hey, Dana, speak up anyway.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, so, yeah, I was just at the bank the other day, and I was putting some money in my account, and at the bottom of the check, it said REV12/12, and the Holy Spirit told me to look up Revelation 12:12. And it's that verse that says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell on them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." And I got a really cool confirmation when I saw the Revelation 12:12 on the bottom of the check, and it was 2:22. And I just had watched a video by Seho Song. It was about the number 222.
Yes.
And it was just wow. I mean, it was crazy. So I wanted to share that.
Crazy, yes.
I'm like,
thank
God
you.
Only would have Revelation 12:12 on the bottom of the check, you know? I mean, how cool is that? So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Again, he gives us signs and works with us every minute of every day. If we tune into it, we're so much more blessed, you know?
Yes.
Like, it really... Oh.
There you go.
It's like anything. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. But here's 818. Is this Tana again? Let me check. Either way, let me unmute them. Hello, 818.
It's me. I had to call back in.
Yuki? Okay.
Yeah. I had to make sure the DSL guy was going to show up, so I had to call back in. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and mute you then. I'm just playing with you, Keith. So.
Don't want to mute Keith. Gosh.
I love Keith. So, funny story. I mean, I go through Bibles like 2 a year, but this one's only like 3 months old, and I've been doing communion so much that the page is now ripped out or is hanging in there by a thread. So I will gladly do communion. I was just wondering if anyone else had any interest in doing it. If not, again, it's my pleasure. I just don't want to, you know, again,
go ahead, Joe.
For everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and anyone else on online? Or... No? Okay.
You
do it. Let's do some communion then. Pat, you want to help me a little bit too with the... I like to go in a little bit, you know, rather than just doing it into the history and the significance of it is of what it is that we're doing here.
Okay. I
mean, I can do it. If you don't have to. Anyone on the line, please.
Yeah, it is different for me.
I mean, just if you could add in how much it expresses our love, I think that would be a good thing for you to explain that, you know, it's not just...
Well, See, in the faith that I come from, we really believe he's body, blood, soul, and divinity in the host, that transubstantiation it's called. So, like, when you were doing the communion, because he's in the tabernacle's locked, he's still there, body, blood, soul, and divinity, till he's taken out and served to us, you know, in the host where he has everything, because we go by when his apostles, and he said, he who eats of my body and drinks of my blood has life in him, and he is me. And they said, how can we eat his body and blood? And he let them walk away. And then his apostle said, and he said to his apostles, you too, are you going to walk away? And he said, well, Lord, who are we going to go to? Only you have the words of life. So we really, I mean, but that's our interpretation. That doesn't mean I'm not one with everybody else. That's why I do communion with anybody, everything, you know. But I spiritually receive him. When you make this communion, when you say the prayers, I spiritually receive him from the tabernacles into me in a spiritual communion, that he is truly inside me and that we become one. And when I receive him in Mass, like I offered my communion, Jesus in me, for Keith's healing, okay? I can do it, and I do it for all of you. I put you all in my heart, because Jesus is going into my heart, my soul. This is food for the soul. This is what we believe, which is very beautiful, but it all ties in with the words that you've said, and if that's how you interpret, that's how you interpret. I join my interpretation with yours, because Jesus is our Savior and died for us. So I have no problem with the differences at all. Others might, but I don't.
Amen.
We're all one in this. Okay. That's what I just
said. I don't either. I agree. I'm so happy you said that because, again, it's different for everyone. But
yes.
The path
we're
on leads to the Lord. I don't want to hear people.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
Bashing.
I don't want to hear differences or nothing.
You're doing it from the sincerity of your heart.
If
you're speaking for the Lord, He will show you what is right. I didn't even take communion until about 5 months ago when He told me to.
Wow.
I knew since the age six. Between 6 and 7, that I was a member of the 144,000 before I even knew what it meant. I was brought up in a religion where only members of the 144,000 would take of it once a year. So I was like,
goodness.
Why do that?
And
he said, no, this is not.
Wow.
That's what Jehovah's Witnesses believe at. They celebrate.
I have no idea.
They
don't believe in hell either.
I'll fill you in, Pat. They do. They do it. You know, they do it on 9th and 14th. They do it on the date, right? And, you know, they have most of it right. It's just anyone, they just pass it around, pass the bread and pass the wine, and no one takes of it except, you know, the congregation I went to, one person who, you know, was a member of the 144,000. Myself, as another member, again, I have an ongoing dialogue with God ever since I can remember. And told me no. He said, you know, they're just going to... And that's why he had me leave there. It was all just kind of a show thing, you know. It's a personal thing.
Oh, okay.
So he had me do it again with him personally, but some of my deepest revelations that he's giving me has been during communion. Like, I do it on the show with you guys, but then I do it every night before I go to bed, which is usually around sunrise.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful connection, you know, especially since he asked me to do it and explained to me, you know, after all these years of me not doing it, you know, 37 years of me not doing it, he explained to me.
But today's today, Josh. Why and you're
he
with
did
the Lord.
Want me to do it. Yeah, well, again, I've been doing it since he told me to about five, you know,
sure.
shortly after New Year's. But my point being, again, it's different. It's different for everybody. And but what isn't different? Mm-hmm. What isn't different? What we all agree on is we're doing it to remember our Lord. To remember the sacrifice that He made for us, did for
us,
and also to thank Him and also to praise Him for the salvation that what He did, the deliverance that it's going to give us. So it's you know it's so much in one. And again, He did not ask much, but you know, twice in the Bible it's written down that He said, not just in one of the times He said, please do this in remembrance of me. The other time, just do this in remembrance of me. But our Lord, the King of Kings, to say please to us, I mean, He's always so gracious to us.
Because He's one of us now. He's one of us now, and He's family. And in family, we say please and thank you. Yeah.
Right.
Because
He
wants to be family to the core. That's why RCC is so special, because in this body of believers, at this very special church, even though I'm like with everybody. I mean, I've been all over the block, but he knows through us what family is. We tell him, we show him what family is. Even when we're silly or dancing or music or whatever, he knows what family is, and he wants to be family, period. And this special body that we are, he knows, and he loves it.
He does. He truly blesses us, and it's an amazing thing, the fellowship he's given us. And again, it's not for everyone. You know, we're one car on the rapture train. We're all so rapture-centric.
Yes.
We hang out together. We share a mess. A lot of time, and we're no different than someone on another car. The Lord's just using them in a different way.
Exactly.
We're reaching
out
to them in a different way.
There's
so,
all different personalities, always of expression.
Never compare your walk with someone else's.
No.
Like,
he accepts everything.
A waste of time.
As long as you're sincere with him, and he's and you're trying to please him, you're trying to, you know, incorporate your life with this. That's what he's looking at, the why of everything. And someone might do something to, you know, like they say, you give one project to 10 different people, and it's going to come out 10 different ways. But every way is good. Okay?
True. Yeah. True. Keith, you there?
I think she muted herself because it was back noise.
Oh, I
muted because I'm still driving and
there's a lot of road noise.
So I'm just
listening. We appreciate. Okay, no, that's okay. Either. I just wanted to know if anyone else on the line wanted to share with what communion meant to them or anything special about the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
If not, all right, then I'll get into it a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, it's just every aspect of it is just so cool. Our Lord could have said, you know, we're going to this house and at this address.
Well,
but
hey,
he wanted to,
guys,
he just. Yes, yes.
If you guys can tolerate the road noise for a moment, I have an interesting observation that I want to share on communion.
Mm-hmm.
And that one thing the Catholic Church does, and I think does right, and we're doing it. We ourselves are in that same path. You know, the Catholic Church has Mass every day, right?
I can have communion every morning.
They have
Mass,
you know, and on Sundays they might have 10 Masses a day. Okay.
Well, three or four.
But in every service that they have, there's always communion.
Oh,
whereas
yes.
What I've noticed in the Protestant community, if you will, which includes, you know, charismatics and everybody else under the sun,
they may have
communion once a month.
Right.
Some maybe once a week. But they don't have it every day.
Right.
And Jehovah's Witnesses have it once a year. So different religions.
Well,
yeah.
Everyone's different. Everyone is different.
Exactly. So I like the, you know, there's, well, first and foremost, there's no, you know, we're in the spirit of grace and in the spirit of the Spirit. So whatever the Holy Spirit, however the Holy Spirit leads us. But there's been times where I have had communion at home by myself every day, sometimes twice a day, okay? And
beautiful.
Then other times, you know, for whatever reason, I stop, and then I'll start again. And I when we started the rapture-centric radio show, I don't think we started having communion for a couple of weeks, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit prompted us to have communion, to share communion every day. And at first we were sharing communion, you know, with the real elements. Everybody went and got the elements, whatever they were, and then, you know, sometimes people have the elements and sometimes they don't, but we still have communion in the spirit of the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to share that observation for whatever it's worth.
To me, we're all
worth
one.
A lot. Thank you so much
for
sharing that. And it's so
we're
right on.
One.
And some nights, you know, some nights we don't even get to it. But again, we're and why we're talking about it tonight. None of us announce or talk on the phone or anything. Or at least me, I can only speak for myself. I never plan what I'm going to say. I just pray for the spirit to guide the show, and that's
exactly. Exactly.
So this is where the spirit,
Amen.
You know, guiding us tonight.
Yes.
So, you know, that's why. And then we'll, yeah. And if it tells us to do something else, or do something else.
Yeah, I think because I've been to so many different churches. I was Episcopalian, baptized. I was Presbyterian for a while. You know, my people were Methodists, French Huguenots, Christian Scientists. I've been all over the place. But I can see that wherever they were, they love Jesus. He's their Savior. What? That's the core thing. Look at the message the Pope just gave to the Protestant churches. Like, let's join together and let's stop the division. Tony Palmer. I mean, if that wasn't beautiful, I don't know what was. And it's like, whatever differences they are, we're going to work through everything so that we are true brothers in Christ who died for us and shed his blood and paid the price for us to go home. Let's put aside all this other stuff. Let's find every core value that unites us. And that's the core value. He's our Savior. He's our Savior. He's our Savior. Okay? That's why I can be with anybody. I can go to any church and just love on you. Okay? I don't care who you are, where you're from. You're my brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Okay?
Amen,
yeah.
Pat. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do communion then, brothers and sisters.
Go right ahead.
We're going to observe something the Lord asked us to do in remembrance of him, and also to proclaim his returning. Every time I do this, I think, wow, is this the last time, you know? So this, I pray, is the last time we're doing this, brothers and sisters, together. But if not, we continue to. But, and the Last Supper, you know, the eve before he was crucified, you know, shortly before he was turned over, this is pretty much the last thing he did with his disciples before the Roman guards came. But the Lord prayed over a loaf of unleavened bread. The reason, you know, there's a lot of significance in unleavened bread. It does not have yeast in it, and yeast, in biblical terms, is considered impure, impurity. So that's why, you know, the body of Christ has no impurities. So that's why he used unleavened bread. He broke it amongst the disciples and said, eat this. This means my body, which I give in your behalf. Keep doing this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. Later in the meal, our Lord, he filled his cup with wine. He did not drink of it, but he passed it around after praying over it. And he said, drink of this. This cup means the new covenant by virtue of my blood. Keep doing this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. For as often as you eat this loaf and drink this cup, proclaim the death of our Lord till he arrives.
Amen, until he arrives.
Amen. Thank you.
we will hear the blowing of that shofar.
Shofar.
Our brother Bill put that together for
beautiful
us.
Beautiful gift.
Thank you as always, Bill. That music, it's like a prayer in itself. I just
sit back and
meditate on that. So.
Yeah.
What a blessing. Thank you, Bill. So, who else is on the line? I got a whole bunch of callers. I have 6 callers unmuted. And we have tonight, we have right now 16 users in chat. So.
Wow. Hi, chat.
Hi, love everybody. Definitely loving chat.
Yes.
We have our awesome sister Judy running chat tonight.
Okay. Hi, Judy.
Judy always
holding
it down. She's not on the air.
God bless
her. Holding it down behind the scenes. God bless her. Big time.
Yeah, God bless her. I love you, sweetie.
So, Pat, I guess it's going to be you and I talking.
I'll give you some hint. I've got some real gorgeous stuff.
Definitely. And then if you want, I can answer some of the questions you said you wanted to ask me about things I have seen.
I want to hear your... was it near-death experiences?
Oh, yeah, I got a few of them. I have some visions of heaven I can share with you, a few other things. So.
Sure, that'd be great.
Whatever.
Be great. You want me to read?
Please, definitely. I love when you do.
She was doing a holy hour, and he says, let me see here. Ask me for this love as though I were a merchant. And she says, well, what will I give you in payment, since he said merchant? And he says, your gratitude, which will burn like the flame of your joy. What I give surpasses your poor little means and awakens new feelings in you, feelings you thought to be beyond your power to experience. This unexplored domain amazes you and proves that it is I myself who act in your attentive and docile soul. Oh, be attentive to me. This is a signal way of reaching me. To be attentive means to empty yourself of everything except the desire for me. It is then that I come, and the greater your desire for me, the greater will be the measure of my grace. When someone is waiting for you, don't you hurry? Don't you like someone to call because he cherishes you? And when someone seeks you out to talk with you, this gives you pleasure, doesn't it? I am still more sensitive because I am always the one who loves first. Even if you do little, you touch me deeply. I, a man-god, what delicate sentiments are mine. Who will be able to feel the heartbeat of my love? Above all, who will know how to respond? Learn day by day so that the moment will come at last when you will know. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Who's that? That's another voice. Who's that?
Me? I just said
that
was beautiful.
I couldn't make out your voice, Carol.
It's my joy to read, honey. Whatever I can share, I give, you know, to uplift and encourage everybody. Jesus is so sweet. What a sweetie. He's so sweet.
I really, I love your readings from He and I. We're so
I can do more later
that.
On
Thank
if you want. There's,
that.
There's tons.
If you could,
there's
I just
whole...
say, if you could pull together another one.
I have them all ready to go. I have them all marked. Do. I have, and then I put R in a check mark so I don't repeat myself. So I have it all planned out. I have my computer is all set up here with books and things for all you guys.
That's so awesome. I got like a few notes and stuff. Keep asking the Lord, what more can we all do to rush this? And He said nothing. He's not about that. You know, kind of like, it's not about you. You know, it's like humbling. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean it. You know, like, He knew I meant it. But I was like, is there anything, you know, you need us to do? And He guides us again. He guides us every night with the Spirit.
Yes.
Just,
we can all
I
send postcards to the Eternal Father.
I'd love to hear some news. Keith, are you still on the air? Are you napping again? Or you're still
napping, but I'm listening.
Are you too tired to do the news? We could cover it if you're not too
tired. I don't have ideas.
You do it so good.
My DSL man is here, so the computer's not on yet, so I'm not able to do the news today.
You're the young
like,
man there right now.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
like, tell, be like, dude, I'm live on the radio. Can you see this
stuff? You know,
oh, wow.
That's funny.
So we can talk about the news for a few minutes. Pat, are you what are you hearing on the news?
Well, you know, good old Paul Bagley here, he didn't put anything news out. It says China and Russia unite oil pipeline deal. And then he was talking about 47 earthquakes in 47 days, over 5.9 and higher. And what is American Spring? Maybe we want to talk about American Spring has begun, repent, or whatever it is here. And 120-year flood hits Bosnia and Serbia.
Wow.
Yeah.
And China and Russia are very serious about that whole drop-the-dollar deal, you know. And they don't but they don't understand, though, while they're trying to screw over the U.S. by dropping the dollar on their trades with oil and stuff, that's the world currency. So it's like saying, let's just drop the world currency. I mean, it's a ricochet because we're in a one world system already. And I mean, you know, back in the 70s, if America went down, it didn't affect China because we didn't buy all their products. Now we all buy each other's products. So when one thing goes down, one country goes down, the rest fall. You know, it's like we're all the domino effect. So now that we've got China and Russia saying, well, let's boycott that dollar. Well, then you're boycotting the world currency, the one currency that affects all those nations. So that's why the Lord has shared with me twice now. He said, you watch. The Lord said, see how when they destroy the dollar like this, they're going to make that worldwide collapse happen even faster. That's what's happening.
Oh,
they're going to drop
boy.
The dollar on the trades, and then the U.S. the U.S. is getting back at Russia by not running their Visa and MasterCard transactions. And so then what happened then? Russia got pissed, and then they're taking their gold out of Europe, and they put their gold reserves, they pulled them out of Europe, put them in their own reserves now in Moscow, and then you've got Europe getting upset over that, and so this involves the whole pipeline deal, the gas thing, and now Europe's trying to find another way to get gas, you know, besides Russia, and then so now Ukraine owes $1 billion for Russia claims they own that, so the U.S. is trying to pay that billion, so like we're trying to give $1 billion to someone that's we're trying to screw over on the other end. It's the whole thing is going to be a huge economic collapse. And if you look at, there's the Jubilee year, and then every year, every 7 years since the Jubilee year, there is a stock market crash. It's a fact. The last one was 2008, and it dropped by 777 points. The next one will be 2015 September. So for sure, I guarantee you, this will be a fact. Mark, we won't be here, but everyone else can mark on their calendars. September 2015 will be the worldwide economic stock market plunge because it's just been accurate every single time. So that's
and
the stock market
hasn't
collapse.
It been setting up perfectly with the quick uprise and now all the buying that's going on? Like,
yeah,
you know, a year
exactly.
ago, I was like, how can there be another crash? There is no stock market anymore. I checked it out
exactly.
the other day, and it's like, the Dow, you know this better than me, but yeah, fill everyone in. I'm like, how would there suddenly... people are putting their money back into the stock market for some reason.
Usually the way that happens with America, for instance, and sort of the world because we were the economic power, you know, what happened in the past was that, first of all, when we had a recession, the average recession lasted a year and a half. And that was it. After the recession, immediately the stock market or the real estate market would just make new heights. Just stock market would jump all new heights all over again. So we'd have a year and a half recession, then bam, the thing would take off. People would put all their money into it. All the stocks would go way up. Everybody's making hand over fist money, and the market goes up again. But we obviously had a recession this time because they can tell you all they want. I call it depression, okay? I call it depression, but they can lie to you and tell you we had a recession. But I called this depression like literally 3 years before it happened. I told all my clients, I promise you, the stock market, because I studied charts, and I said, I promise you it'll hit. Sure enough, it did, and they lost all their money. They didn't pay attention. Oh, well. But the thing is, usually what happens is if you look at the American economy, the stock market goes up and the real estate market's down. So what happens is the stock market goes up, boom, 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 people ride it to the top, then we have a little recession, then they jump into the real estate market, okay? So then the stock market goes down, real estate takes off. They ride this real estate market to the top, jump off of that train when that collapses, and then they jump back into the stock market. So that's why America's always been so wealthy, because they're either making money in the stock market or then they move on to the real estate market. And it goes right. like that cycle like that consistently.
Also,
so what happened with this time? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I wanted to add something before I forgot. It's just something else I read a couple of days ago. 9/10 of the money being pumped in the stock market is from the government right now. just to create, just to inflate it again, to make it.
Well, that quantitative, exactly. The government, exactly, is printing out all that foolish money, quantitative easing. So they're printing out, like, it was like $40 billion a month, and it was like $80 billion a month. Taking that money, printing it out, it's going into the big corporations who are buying the stocks. So this is the weirdest thing in the world here is we've got, you know, when the stock market was running really, usually what happens in a real nutshell, just so you understand economics, is that when the economy is doing good, you want to raise the inflation rate. You want to raise the rate of the loans. So then what that happens is it slows people wanting to give loans, it slows the economy down. But what Bush did is when the economy took off and the housing market took off, Bush lowered the rates. See, so that's really screwed everything. Because what happens is you want to raise the rates when the economy is doing good, and then what happens is when the economy comes down, then you start lowering the rates, right? So they'll start improving. But we're screwed. We're the first time in history we're completely screwed because we had a low economy with the rates already at zero. So what can you do? It's a scenario that has never happened before. And so now what's happening is we've got the stock market. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I don't want to get too much into the
I want to understand. We got the stock market taking off now, and it's taking off, and it's taking off, and it's taking off. But the problem is the economy is not there. So we still have that dead economy right now with low rates, but yet the stock market's taking off. So what's going to happen is the stock market, it's like pulling the rug underneath it. It's going to just collapse because the economy is not supporting the stock market, and we're going to see this huge collapse in 2015. Right. But it is setting itself up right now.
Is, and I know you agree, Keith, as we talked about it. It's all, this has been set up to happen. This is what they want to happen. I mean, the Bible spoke of tribulation times, and it said that it would take, I'm going to paraphrase, a man would need a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread.
Wow.
Bad. So, well, ironically, the Bible says that, and it says silver and gold will be worth nothing in the day of wrath. So, ironically, usually gold is high when the stock market's low, but this time, ironically, another real strange thing, the stock market's high and gold is high because one day people are freaked out and they jump into stocks, the next day they're freaked out and jump back into gold. So actually gold, silver, and the stock market are high. So the Lord set that one up because then they're all going to fall at one time and be worthless. And the Bible says gold and silver will be worthless in the day of wrath. And right now China, the government of China is putting all their money in gold, they're buying all the gold bars they can, and all kinds of people are doing that. They think gold's going to be their savior when the currency is zero. So in the day of wrath, it's worthless.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
One thing I did look online today, news. Oh, I'm sorry. Katie, what's that?
No, I was going to say, I wanted to add to what
Carol.
Keith is saying. Yeah. I wanted to add what Keith is saying. Isn't it in Revelation chapter 12 or possibly 13 where it talks about in the first few verses about the one world economy, the one world government, and the one world religion? And this is what is starting to happen right now. This is why we have to be so encouraged. We cannot allow ourselves to get weary for 1 second because everything is being set up. The one world currency is going to be brought about by the collapse of the global economy. Once the stock market totally crashes, the pattern has been through the 20th century. It crashes and then it goes up, and then it they call it a correction. So it corrects itself for about 8 or 9 months, and it tanks, and then it starts going up again. But this time, right now, please understand, this is all prophecy in the making. So the
this is the New World Order, prophecy doing there.
So it's going up, and those that are in the know of the stock market game think that, just so everybody knows, there is ways, there are strategies where people make money when the stock market goes down, all right? But this time, when the stock market goes down, it's the end of the stock market. It's the end of the global economy. It's the end of the dollar. It's the end of the euro. It's the end of everything. And that's when the one world...
Right, this is the first time in history where, you know, in the past when the American Stock Exchange went down, it was the U.S. Depression. You know, everyone else pretty much fine. Now they've done what the New World Order tried. They've accomplished what they wanted to, a one-world currency. Now when they crashed, that's why they did it, so they could crash a one-world currency and take everyone out. It's so much easier than having crashing, you know, 10 markets and, you know, 500 different economies, have them all completely connected, and boom, you know, simple, easy, done and done. And then people will be lining up to say, again, you won't be able to buy or sell or trade without the mark. People are going to say, hey, I'm hungry. Yeah, stick this thing in me. Hey, yeah, I want to, you know, live like I used to. Or, you know, I got to pay my electric bill. I don't want to lose my house.
So
stick it right on in me. You know, they're going to put their worldly things way before it. But, again, the Book of Revelations, and we really, you know, for around long enough, we should just start as a church in chapter one. Read maybe, you know, a chapter a night and just take it apart, because, you know, Katie and I have had great discussions on it, of a few other people I've talked to. I mean, it's always been my favorite book of the Bible, and really is, we're living it now. It's the last generation.
Right.
We are living
it.
So it's like, it's not history. It's not, it's like actually like, as like, it's at, what do you call that? Real time. It's real time.
Right.
Like, we're watching it in real time.
Exactly.
It's such a blessing.
And the Holy Spirit is opening the eyes for people to understand when we, you know, when we start reading the Book of Revelation. He's really starting to open our eyes now, just like he's doing with the Book of Daniel. And the other aspect, in chapter 1 of Revelation, for everyone who has not read the Book of Revelation, I strongly suggest it, because it is the only book in the Bible where it actually says that those who read that book, the Book of Revelation, get a special blessing. And I don't know about any of you guys, but I welcome and receive all the blessings available that there are for
Amen.
Us.
I couldn't agree more. And honestly, you know, you can get it. You can, on YouTube, you know, I like to fall asleep listening to different books of the Bible. They have, you just pull it up, type in Book of Revelation. You know, it's only 22 chapters. It's not very long. So, you know, someone's narrating it. If you don't want to read it yourself, that's another way to soak it in. It's nice to lay there and soak it in. But,
right.
I mean, it's just,
and
it's fun. Like,
and
that's
I will give, I think we can all, those of us who have read it, will agree on this real, real quick synopsis, okay? From chapter 1 to chapter 4 of the Book of Revelation, well, actually, chapter 4, verse 1, those chapters are talking to the church, to the worldwide believers. Okay?
Yeah, it's the seven letters that you're referring to.
Right, and then from chapters 4.5 or 5 to 19, we're no longer... The Lord is not talking to the believers, you know, to the church there. It's all about the Jews and about the left behind people and those that have rejected Jesus. So from chapters 5 to chapter 19, the church is out of the way. The true believers, the bride of Christ, let me just say, the bride of Christ is out of the way. And then the bride of Christ returns in chapter 19. So from 19 to 22, it's the bride of Christ, and we come to the earth with Jesus. So, you know, that's just a real, real quick synopsis of how exciting, you know, the Bible, the Book of Revelation.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It goes with so many things. You know, the opening of the seals, which, you know, part of one of the seals we're waiting is to be open is our rapture, you know. It speaks about the four angels, the 144,000. Also in chapter 7, the great crowd. This is the everyone. This is the people who accept the Lord in ways that we don't understand. They're on some Fijian island. They've never seen a Bible. You know, our Lord's name, when he walked the earth,
I'm going to mute
Yeshua.
Myself.
Yeah, if you, it's a little feedback. Thank you, though, Carol. It was awesome.
Okay.
But, you know, again, there's so many, you know, the great crowd is an important thing. Like, a lot of people are going to be say this, why we don't judge anyone. But, you know, going to chapter, you know, 8, it goes into, you know, survive people who have survived the Great Tribulations, you know, the blowing of the trumpets, the locust army in chapter 9, you know, it continues into, you know, the chapter 10 goes into the 1260 days, the two witnesses being killed in chapter 12, you know, the war in heaven, chapter 12 refers to. It's just on and on. You know, chapter 12 into 13 is when Satan's cast to earth. You know, it goes back and forth. It takes even past and shows how it's happening currently. You know, Mark of the Beast, again, chapter 14, 144,000. Then we start getting, you know, into 14 and 15 when Babylon falls. You know, the vine is destroyed. Then God's bowls of anger, you know, the wrath in 17. And we go, you know, chapter 18 is, you know, again, just the destruction of Babylon, and then all the great crowd in 19 praising Jehovah God Almighty. You know, the war referred to a little more. And then it gets into my favorite part, you know, chapter 20, you know, 22, basically, where it's what we're looking forward to, and ourselves included with the great cloud. Bow before our Lord, and our Lord Jesus sits in his throne. And we all just, if we have crowns, we toss them. If we don't, whatever, we're just all just so happy to be there and sing to him and praise him. And then the bride says, verse Jesus says, come and, you know, in chapter 22, come and drink of life's water free. And then his bride, the spirit of his bride, just like at the end of every show, the spirit of his bride says, come. Well, the spirit of his bride is going to say, come and take this water for free. And we're going to be, you know, literally giving water. But it's, you know, a spiritual thing. It's so amazing. I could go on forever. I'm going to stop now. But I highly, highly recommend at least listening to it on, like, YouTube. If not, reading it.
Hmm.
Revelation is great. Wow, so people in chat are getting thunder, and a lot of other people saying it's been such a beautiful day, and like a softness in the air.
Yeah. Well, it's been beautiful today, absolutely, and all week, just about gorgeous in the 70s. It's like Camelot weather. Like, I'm just pure blessing. We could sit outside.
It was raining here yesterday.
Oh, it was very bad yesterday.
Very bad.
Very bad. We don't flood, thank God. Yeah, we're on a mountain. Everything runs down, so we're on a mountain. We can overlook Lake Apacon. It's really pretty. We're very blessed and safe.
Yeah. My phone went off last night, like, flood warning. I was like, whoa. Like, yeah, I guess AT&T, like, it may start beeping.
I know. My phone does that too. It gives you amber alerts. It gives me everything.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my friend is.
It's shocking when it goes off. It's like what? What's it telling me that?
I know. Translation.
But it's
alert.
Good. It's
translation.
Very good. That, yeah. Translation time. Get ready. Everybody's disappearing. Alert! Alert! Bye. Leave
that's
my phone
so
here.
Funny. Pat, how many times a day do you think it's happening? Do you ever have days you think it's something's happening where it's begun, or have you ever had feelings like that where you start feel like you're floating?
Oh yeah,
out
there's
your body?
Times that I woke up in the night. I was saying the other night I woke up, he just woke me up, and I'm like tired. I'm not arguing with him, but I'm saying, oh, I'm so tired because I don't sleep that well. And when I do sleep, I go into a sound sleep, and as I said, I could hear for a few seconds water lapping on the shore like the ocean, because he knows I'm an ocean freak, you know. So maybe he was like letting me know, soon you're going to be by the ocean with me.
It's amazing.
He was
knocking again last night, and my brother-in-law this morning said, did you hear that knocking at like 4 a.m.? I was
wow.
like, yeah,
wow.
Did you? And he's like, well,
did you get
was?
Up?
I explained it to him. We're completely open about this, you know, and it's great.
Oh.
So great.
yeah.
So he was like, oh, that's so cool. But there's, you know, there's, our Lord is always showing us, always giving us signs. I call it manna. Like, it keeps me going. Like, I don't need food. I need this, like, fellowship with my brothers and sisters.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And more importantly, not, you know,
right.
You guys now, but just with the Lord, you know, like, you know,
exactly.
Sometimes I'll be on the phone even with someone like, I got to go. Like, I need some personal one-on-one time. And I know you know what I'm talking about, Pat.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but,
yeah. There's times, like he'll say, like I told you that one time, he said he wanted me to turn the computer off at night and just spend time with him, you know, just looking, just talking, just telling my love him. Well, it's just spouse stuff. Really, I mean, you guys all know what I'm talking about. And he says, now look down on the left. You see that little circle? Now you hit that, and it'll turn the computer. He was teasing with me. He was telling me.
Yeah, I remember
and then
you telling
kid,
us
like,
that.
Oh,
that was funny.
Yeah, okay. I'll turn it off. He told me the color it was. He teases like that. So he does this stuff, guys. He does this stuff. It's cute.
He definitely. He not only teases, and again, he'll bust on me sometimes. Like he'll lovingly make fun of me, and I love it. Like, in a way, like, he knows me better, than I know myself, and shows me that daily. It's so nice, so
it's
beautiful.
Funny. It's just funny sometimes. He has a great sense of humor. I've been out in a restaurant, you know, eating, and he'll say something so funny to me, and all of a sudden, my husband's looking at me like I'm not too tightly wrapped, and I'm laughing.
Oh.
All of a sudden, he just said something so funny to me. He has this dry sense of humor, I call it an English sense of humor. You know, he just says something, and you just crack up.
And his timing, too. Like, his timing's perfect in his comedy, too. Like, I've done the same thing. Like, in the middle of a restaurant, start bawling, laughing, and people are looking at it. Like, not the kind of restaurant you pulled that in, you know? Looking at it, like, what's the matter with you?
Must be mentally ill.
Yeah, so I told them. I was like, my Lord just told me the funniest joke. And they're looking around like, where's your Lord at?
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
Yeah.
Send
but
the men
okay.
in the white coats in the restaurant. Take him out.
Again,
The Lord
definitely built me right. I definitely get off on people thinking I'm like a nut. Like, I've always
Definitely. My family thinks I'm crazy. They love me, but I'm, you know, the elevator doesn't go to the top floor, you know. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. But even ever, you know, Mohawk in high school, bright red hair down to my shoulder. I mean, like, Ronald with
coat
and red. I fleeced it. And all throughout college, big baggy pants, chain wallet, skateboards, you know, and snowboard. We all dressed. I still dressed all for, you know, like, weird. I almost prefer that people are looking at me like, I want to be different from this world. I always have. I know we all feel the same, brothers and sisters. And
yeah.
And again,
you
it's
can't
not your
judge
clothes
the book by the cover.
It's what's in your heart.
Yes.
No, definitely not.
Because
and
this
that,
girl
that
went on.
So great.
Yeah. This girl went on a biking
Let's
trip by
herself.
Let's expand
on that.
Yeah, she was surrounded by bikers, and she thought maybe the Hell's Angels or something, whatever they are. But they were the sweetest Christian people, and they were bikers, but they looked tough. They had tattoos and everything, but they were the most precious people. They made her ride with them to keep her safe to her destination.
That's
yeah. Yeah, and you couldn't, but to look at them with the beards and the leather jackets and the, I mean, like, you want to run the other way. But they were sweethearts.
Yeah,
they were pussycats.
And you know, it's so funny, some of the sweetest people I've met are the same thing, scary-looking bikers. It's neck tattoos and, like, teardrop tattoos. And, like, doesn't that mean you killed someone or something? But they're just sweethearts. And, like, you know, again, definitely do not judge your book by its cover. Because we're all guilty of that. It's like a fleshly human...
I'm just kind to everybody, and if they smile, you know, I say, Lord, I just look to see if they smile, because you've got to have a certain kind of something in you to make you smile genuinely at somebody else. There's hope for that person.
Lord makes it easier. Like, I'm not going to lie, brothers and sisters, I never do. Like, we just talk real, like, when we talk.
Yes.
It's a waste of time otherwise. Like, I normally, my whole life, I don't really care much for people. Like, honestly, I'm just like, ugh. Kind of annoy me, like everyone just annoys, you know. But it's
I know, I hear you.
He's changed me. Now I'm like, I see the good in everyone. Even if they're yelling at me, I like see the good.
I
I'm
still
like,
find
I wish
good.
I could hug them right now so they're not upset or like. But like he's showing me the like kind of, and it's kind of like an insight to the way he is. Like,
yeah,
some of these people are just so seen to him, yet he still loves him. And
he loves him. Look at the thief
Lord,
on the cross.
So
that's
amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even an example. I mean, because wow. I mean, what? The only king I would ever serve, the only king I'd ever bow to, the only king I'll ever follow.
King forever, no end to his kingdom.
The only one in all of history has ever been worthy, ever been worthy.
Yeah.
Every other king is ruled from fear, from money, from this and that. This is from pure love. And every single one of us agree that he should be our king and deserves it. I mean, it's not even like an option. It's not like, oh, his son's going to come kill him. No, like he is the true king of kings. And
Lord
what a
of
blessing.
Lords, yes.
And we serve the king of kings and Lord of lords. We are so blessed. So blessed.
Yes. And we are children of a king. We are all princes and princesses too. So Christian soul, realize your dignity that your father is a king. It's not to make you proud or better than, you know, but realize your dignity and where you're going when you go home. You know, you're going to a kingdom and your father is a king, you know. And it's beautiful, the realization, you know. Yeah.
I mean, again, he is the king of kings because, you know, there's going to be many kings.
Yeah.
Those are us.
There's only one king of all time.
He is the king of all of us.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Gladly, you know, again, and for the first time in history, every member of the court truly loves their king and truly wants to serve him because he truly deserves it. He saved all of our lives.
Exactly.
Like,
he didn't have to do that.
Even the most valiant king in history maybe like went to battle for his country or something. He personally saved each and every one of our lives, personally,
by opening up heaven. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
you can't imagine. Yeah.
You know, King of
even
Kings
in he and I, he says,
strong enough.
Yeah, he says, you know, I died for you such an atrocious death. He says, could you just tell me thank you? Meaning, I mean, it makes you cry to think that he has to ask.
And the fact is, you know, maybe 2% of the world thanks, and you know, let's thank him extra, brothers and sisters. Make a point of it.
Yeah.
Like
there's
two sides to this battle. Our Lord is very, very excited to come get his bride. He's also feeling a lot of pain and sorrow for
what's
going to
happen to the others if they don't wake up. If they don't wake up with the trials that are going to come.
Everything.
And he will. He will try everything.
It's a very sad thing when you try everything. To show someone how much you love them, and they don't care. They are consciously choosing. I'd rather have this or that. You know, my jet airplane, my Lamborghini, whatever. It doesn't matter. Even other things, any simple thing, anything. But you, like, it's a choice, and he's given us all free will. That's why.
Yes.
So you could make this choice. It's not so you could.
So how precious
you know,
is
have
it?
A rough life. Because that's all free will is given most of them. Myself, you know, I just God, why couldn't you just control me? It'd be so much easier. No, it's for that final choice that we all have to make and truly make with our heart of hearts, choosing him.
Can you imagine how precious it is to him? We're still living by faith. We're walking sort of in the twilight stuff. But we say to him, Jesus, we love you. We want you in our life. We have never really seen him or met him. We're living by faith. You can't imagine what that means to him when we say, I love you. And we're doing it by faith. But he gives us so much grace that, you know, it's a joy and we really feel it, that he's real and that we love him and that it's totally genuine to him. But that makes him so happy when we say, I love you, you know, and we're still, we haven't seen him yet, you know. So that, you know, living by faith like that, telling him, I love you, Jesus, you know, I want to be all yours, I want to do your will, the will of the Father, show me every day, who can I talk to, what can I do for you, you know, and sometimes it's just spending time with him, sometimes it's just, like I say, we don't have to say anything, we just look at each other, because there's so much weight of love in that glance, we don't always have to be talking all the time, and that's just to me, wow, you know, like, I have this with my God, my Savior, wow, thank you so much, you know. And I want this for everybody. Oh my goodness, I want this for everybody to know this love, you know, this relationship with him that you can have. And I found it in our family here, RCC. I found that, you know, that he is just loved from the heart by people who are so sincere. you know, and it's beautiful. It's just, it keeps us all going, you know, because we're right at the door, and we need all the
encouragement. It really is.
Because you got people coming at you thinking you're nuts, you know, and you got to really believe what you believe and have that give you peace and not let you get bothered
again,
by what other
Lord,
people think.
Again, our Lord, the people thought he was nuts when he read in his hometown, you know, in the tabernacle, he read from a scroll,
yeah,
basically about the Messiah coming from the Old Testament, and he said, this has now been fulfilled. They rushed him out of there and were trying to throw him off a cliff. Like, that's how they reacted,
yes,
to that.
Poor Jesus,
so
how he suffered. Even though it was 33 years, he suffered terribly, you know, through rejection and misunderstanding and threats.
Well,
you know,
and also,
you know,
just the burden. I mean, you know, coming to terms with, yes,
yeah,
I am the Son
born
of God.
To die.
I mean,
no.
Yeah. But, you know, that's a lot for a 12-year-old child to come to terms.
Oh, that too, yes. And then, you know.
And it's
then,
very interesting to me how, you know, between age 12 and age 30, Jesus'
yeah,
life, there's nothing known about it between age 12 and age 30. I
mm-hmm.
heard one of the first things I'm going to ask him, what were you doing?
Oh, there's
know,
other people that will tell
I,
you what they're doing. The Mormons
have
one thing.
I have a bunch of ideas.
Yeah. But you got to be careful with all that, you know. He helped his father. It said that he stayed with his in obedience to his mother and father for those years, working in the workshop with Saint Joseph. You know, with his father. So, you know, yeah.
I mean, again,
but that's, I know
we
that,
all.
Yeah.
That's just an assumption. We don't know, but he also.
We
did,
don't know.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know, and that's the beautiful mystery.
We just really don't know. That is a mystery. I'm surprised there was nothing written after 12 years old.
But again, even at age 12, what was age 12?
Yeah.
When they lost him, and he was they said,
3 days.
I'm not lost.
Yeah.
Where else would I be but in my father's house? So at age 12,
how hard
was
that for Mary and Joseph to understand? You know,
he was already well, they knew what was up, but he was already referring to, you know, Jehovah, his father's house. As his father's, like, Jehovah's my father. All due respect, Earthly Father Joseph, you know, Jehovah is my father. I'm in his house. Where else would I be?
I would love to know
my
what
father's
he said.
House.
I would love to know what he was talking about with them. One day we will know. We will know. In heaven we will know his conversations with all the ones he met with when he was 12 in the temple. Wow,
oh,
he held them spellbound.
Their minds were blown.
Yeah,
he
blew them away.
You know, I mean, when they retrieved them, you know, they customarily apologized to be polite, and they were like, no, like, your kid's special, and they brushed them out of there because they didn't want to, they knew, you know, like, it was too soon, it was too soon, it wasn't the time. So.
Yeah, beautiful.
Right. Yeah, that's the first time
you,
that,
Lord.
You know, Joseph and Mary knew that he knew. Before that, you know, they knew, and it's, you know, that was also, you know, we should, you know, do some research on them, because it's an amazing story, you know, as two parents, you know, raising the Son of God, and what amazing sacrifices they made, you know, along the way, and what, you know, why they had such a special place in the kingdom, what they've done to earn
it. Oh, indeed, of course, the most special, sure. My gosh, they're his earthly parents, you know. Yeah,
definitely. You know, when he, you know, Jesus was a human. He stubbed his toe when he was a kid and ran to Mary, and she comforted him.
Of course,
you know, like
that's a Christ. Yeah,
thing.
We can
like,
wonder her
know,
too.
She loves us too. I don't want to be crass, but she fed him as mother would feed a child. I mean, she was his earthly mother. It's a beautiful thing. You know, that's why he said to his brother, you know, when he knew what was happening, that you take care of her now. Yeah.
John the Beloved.
He said it to John. Yeah, he did. Yeah. And he could have said it to his half brother, but he chose John.
So. John was just very special, very special.
Yeah.
In love,
John
and he, then he said, "Behold, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." I think in that moment he gave her to all of us to be our spiritual mom. You know, I've seen her 3 times. Oh, when I was suffering very, very badly. Yes. Oh, yes.
Also,
yeah,
I mean, Jesus had the foresight to know that John would, you know, outlive Mary. So, you know, we're most
He took care of her. He
says,
"Mother, behold your son.
So.
Son, behold your mother." Yeah, so he took care of her. Sure. Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Very blessed. very blessed. But you'll have to tell us about your some of your experiences. We only have like 10 minutes left, but maybe you can tell one of them or something.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you want to hear about? Like what?
What you had 5 experiences?
Are you talking about near-death experiences?
Yeah.
Five or
maybe just one, and then as we go on every night, maybe you can just tell us one more. You know, just one more.
Yeah, new near death experience.
Seriously, because we don't have much time. We only have 10 minutes.
No, we don't.
But maybe in 10 minutes you can reveal one. Yeah,
I'll make it very fast. But tomorrow night, I'll tell you guys about a cool vision I had not too long ago. We all are going to be enjoying, looking forward to what's waiting for us up there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to snowboarding as usual on Mount Hood, and I was doing like I was upside down in the air doing a 540 and wanted to bonk a tree branch while I was upside down. Instead, I hit it with my face like fully, but 20 feet in the air, knocked myself unconscious. So I fell through the tree unconscious and broke a whole bunch of bones on the way down.
Oh.
I was hitting branches or whatever. I don't really remember. But I was in a coma for a while and whatever, and then I remember, just a lot of that, like bits and pieces, but a lot he made me remember, about 5 months ago, and he made me remember a lot of things. But, yeah, people know what's going on when they're in coma, just to let everyone know on some weird level. That's why when they talked about Ariel Sharon and the prophecy that the rabbi...
Right.
That really intrigued me,
mm-hmm.
There really is something to that. Of course, there is something to that. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, long story long, 5 times I've had doctors, and I've seen I flatlined. I've had my head over and watched the monitor. I flatlined for 36 seconds. And, 10 minutes later, flatlined for 30 seconds. Felt myself die. But there is that bright light that everyone talks about. There's also this peace. This piece that I can't describe, and also the closest I've ever been. There's I've been that other times I've been, close in different ways, but a real good way to get close to God is to almost die, and that's why so many people have near-death experiences find God. How did you find God? Oh, I was in a really bad car accident. I was in a plane crash. When you almost die, it breaks into that supernatural. You see the barrier between what is real and what is not. What is not. You see the spiritual realm. When you crack your skull open and half your brain is filling out, it makes it a lot easier for the other half to see what's going on. So it's all been blessings. She told me everything was for a reason, and why I am left a bit sore. I've broken. Probably a bone for each year I've been alive, or definitely each year I've been snowboarding, which is 25 or so. Again, it's my point being all this, and we'll get into vision tomorrow, but as far as the near-death experiences, it's brought me very, very close each time. And closer after, after the first, few times. And then I had a really, really... really bad one. I'm always fear of something, just not to half-ass the story. I tried killing myself about 10 years ago. I'd had it. I was sick of waiting.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it anymore.
A lot of people.
Couldn't take the pain anymore. It's just over it. So I got, I was, getting prescriptions for doctors for broken this and broken that, post-traumatic stress disorder, waking up, thinking, watching the ground come at me. So long story short, I had like a 120 Valium, 10 milligrams, 120 Vicodin, 10 milligrams. Wrote a note, ate my last meal, which is like a Stouffer's fried chicken TV dinner, which is quite good. And, ate all these pills. And, woke up in the hospital really pissed off that I wasn't dead. I pulled the IV out of my arm, started stabbing myself in the chest with it. The doctor came in and had his colleagues come down and look at my charts and my toxicology and everything. And he said, your toxicology said it would have killed any given farm animal. I'll never forget those words. It would have killed any given farm animal. Like, Yeah, he's like, how you're alive is just, he said, it's beyond
me. It's God.
I think he said, exactly, you know, and but God really changed me after that, and it, you're not allowed to kill yourself, you know, and
he doesn't like that.
Well, you know, yeah, but he doesn't, but they don't either in New York State, so they put me in, you know, they moved me from, you know, I was in intensive care and cardiac and stuff,
yes.
And my heart kept on stopping, and, you know, from the damage
wow.
I'd done.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, so then they moved me into, the psycho wing of the ward for 3 weeks.
Exactly.
I was totally locked up, couldn't even go to the bathroom without this guy. I was under CO installed,
That's true.
You know, yeah,
my daughter's
I couldn't
the
have
same
pencils
thing, yeah.
or anything. So, I mean, but again, in there, I met some very interesting godly people who were, you know, quote unquote insane. But I don't know. Some of the most incredible things I've learned have been from quote unquote insane people. You know, my greatest mentor in my whole life, who I was blessed enough to talk to for about a year and a half, was a homeless gentleman in Central Park, and he taught me more about spirituality than anyone ever has.
Oh, there you go.
So, again, don't judge.
Wow, you've been through a lot, an awful lot.
I don't want to make this about me. I want to make it about, the Lord is really,
I've been blessed
to be shown a lot,
Yes.
Like
it shows what God did in your life with this.
Right.
Yeah,
I
that's
mean,
what it's all
the
about.
The Lord will turn anything into a blessing. I mean, if you're seeking, he just wants you to want him. Like he told my brother Nico, and he told a few people. You know, but he told my brother Lico that verbatim, I just want you to want me. You know, and that's
yes,
all of
exactly.
us.
Every, yes, absolutely.
You know? But unfortunately,
well, we have 2 minutes.
Sometimes, unfortunately.
Are you going to go?
Oh, 90 seconds.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm sorry. Yes. Oh, you're going now? I'm sorry. You're going now? Yeah. All right. Goodbye. They're going to go see Godzilla.
Oh,
love you guys so much. Love everybody. Love chat. We're going to see you tomorrow morning, maybe.
Yes. Love you, too. In the spirit of the bride.
Come for us.
18 users in
yes.
chat.
Yes. Come now, Jesus.
Love you, Alana. Love you, Leah. Love you, Michelle.
Love everybody.
Love
you guys.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Of the guests in chat, if you don't know, if you want to hit the pause button on the show right now, you'll be able to stay in chat. If not, then just log on to a future show, and you'll be able to get back into chat. And chat pretty much goes on all night, so join us.
Yeah.
Fun. It really is.
I can't get
on. You go in and out.
My computer won't
that.
Let me. Huh? I've got Windows 8, but they want all this information, and then
they just want your information.
Off. Yeah, but I don't. They don't like what I'm giving them. So I can't get on. And it's probably something stupid I'm doing, but but I can't. I've tried several times, and it won't take the information right. Then it just shuts me off. So I don't know. But my computer does things like this.
Yeah.
All right. But don't worry about it. I'll be online. I'll be talking to you guys.